Hello, I'm Tom Landis with Community Media, and this is Open House, where we spotlight organizations that serve our community. Today, our guest is Tracy Potts. She is the Executive Director with the Eisenhower Institute. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about the Eisenhower Institute, its origination, its mission, and becoming part of the Gettysburg College.
Yeah, so we're excited. We're celebrating our 40th year this year. Wow. The Eisenhower Institute was started in 1983 by Susan Eisenhower when she was a young professional, granddaughter. Of the president. And the focus then was foreign affairs. But it has evolved over time. It merged with the college 14 years ago. And now we do public affairs, both domestic and international. But because it's merged with the college, we're a hands-on public policy institute for students, and for students right here in Adams County. So we focus on providing opportunities for our undergraduates to kind of get their hands dirty, to learn about policy, but also to influence policy before they get out in the professional world.
Wow, so that's a good organization to be a part of for them, as it gives them experience in the national and international.
Absolutely. We just had last weekend, we had an Eisenhower Leadership Conference. We had a group of fellows come back from France where they were studying labor policy. We had some students up at the Army War College last week that were studying strategy and leadership. So we try to connect them with professionals outside of the campus, get them off campus, get their hands dirty, but also connect them with people who can help them be influential in the policy world once they get those degrees.
That's excellent. Okay, good. Yeah. Wow. So what project was just completed?
So one of the things that we like to do in addition to the policy work is we are part of a community. We're part of Gettysburg College, but that college sits in a city, and that city sits in a county. And so we like to work with the community, what they like to call the town-gown relations, right?
Okay, sure.
We just completed what I was so excited about this. It was a great opportunity, the Adams County Martin Luther King Day Community Celebration. It's held every year on our campus. It was virtual a couple of years because of COVID.
Right.
But we just came back for the first time in person. And I'm a newer member of the community, but I had an opportunity to work on the committee that put this all together. And we had a great program. We had people from all over who came and joined. We sang, we praised, we learned, we listened, we heard from local community leaders. And then we went over to the College Union building and we put this really these really pretty flower bulbs on a huge tree to express all of our dreams. So it was a nice way to celebrate what's a National Day of Service right here in our community.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I hear there was 14 members of your committee, but then four sponsors. Can you just give a shout out to those?
Certainly. So Gettysburg College, which the Eisenhower Institute is a part of, is a big sponsor of this. SCAP, people may be familiar with that community, South Central Community Action Programs. They help a lot of folks in the community. They're a big sponsor of this. The YWCA.
Okay,
has been very involved in this in the United Way. So these are some of the key organizations that are helping people in our area, partnering with us, partnering with the college to remember this day.
Excellent. And to all those who helped, thank you very much. That was well deserved. So the theme, From the Mountaintop. How was it chosen and why? What's the significance?
So we were trying to think, how do we link the experiences of people here in Adams County with the bigger idea of Martin Luther King and, of course, his famous speech where he talks about the mountaintop. We thought, what happens, what's the view, what's the vision when you're on that mountaintop, and how do you get there? And so even before the program, we partnered with you and with students, and we had students talking about their mountaintop moment. How do you get to the place in life, to the thing that you're trying to achieve? How do you get to getting that degree or getting that internship or overcoming obstacles to get there? And we had students telling their stories, and we had our speakers and participants telling their stories. But the idea is, how do you keep moving, keep pushing forward, work together to get to the mountaintop, and then what's the vision like once you get there?
Excellent. Man, that's so good. So what was the vision for the Martin Luther King event? What did you want to accomplish in that?
So, as I said, this was the first time that we were coming back as a community in person after doing it virtually and after, you know, a bit of a hiatus. And it was the 41st annual, so they've been doing this for a long time. Some of our participants at the program talked about their parents and their grandparents being involved in the inception of this. What we wanted to do was to make this feel like Adams County. We wanted to make it feel local. And a lot of the feedback I've gotten was just that from people, that it felt like us, right? It wasn't outsiders. It wasn't sort of a big sort of national thing. It felt like, what does the mountaintop look like here? What does service look like here? And so I think people... what I heard, people enjoyed it because it reflected our community. So, for example, we had the Biglerville Jazz Band who performed. We had the Gettysburg Children's Choir. The speakers, both of our speakers were local. Mayor Rita Freeling from Gettysburg. Not just that she's mayor, and I should say the first woman and the first African-American mayor of Gettysburg.
Right.
But she grew up here. She's local. People know her. Attorney Toreen Moses, who also grew up in the community, went out and got his law degree, but he came back to serve the community. So this is about a day of service. So I think our speakers and our participants really reflected, this is what service, this is what improvement, this is what civil rights, this is what that mountaintop looks like for us right here in this community.
Well done. And it was, like you say, accomplished. I mean, yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Awesome. So... Martin Luther King lived for service for others, and he called people to do the same.
Yeah.
So how do we continue with that vision today? What would you say to those that are listening? How do you continue that vision of service?
Yeah. So think about the work that Martin Luther King did. He first identified where the needs were. For him, you know, nationally, right? When he was assassinated, and I was actually in Memphis with students last year, going back this year, he was in Memphis to help sanitation workers. He identified where in the community the needs were and then fought for justice, fought for equality, fought for racial justice, economic justice. People forget, they think, okay, you know, from the 60s it was all black and white,
right.
But economic justice was a big part of this. The Poor People's Campaign was a big part of that work.
Yes.
So how do we do that today? We have to do the same thing. Where are the needs in our community? That's why we have partners like SCAP and the United Way and the YWCA, because that's the work that they do. One of the things, and in the year and a half that I've been part of this community through my work, I've learned that affordable housing is a big challenge. It's something the mayor has talked about.
Yes.
Developing the workforce is something that our students at the Eisenhower Institute, we were talking about that just today with the Adams Economic Alliance. What does the workforce look like here? How do we improve that? And create a workforce that will draw businesses into this community to improve the quality of life for everyone. So that's our mountaintop today. And once we identify that, how do we work together, with partners like you? You guys were a big part of this. You helped us get the word out about it. And with partners like SCAP, like the United Way, like YWCA, to provide what people in this community need to be successful.
That's excellent. I love it.
Yeah.
Reminds me of a friend of mine on a personal level. When he goes into a room of people, he looks for, I mean, he'll greet people, but he will look for the person that he can tell by their facial affect mm-hmm. that they have a need. There's something going on. And he hones in on to just be a blessing and
wow.
encourage them. So it's the same thing. I mean, we're just looking for that on a little larger scale in our community. How do we just look and say, all right, you hear somebody's story, and it's easy to say, oh, I'm sorry, or hopefully it's better for you, but then you leave instead of saying, wait a minute, maybe there's the opportunity. Maybe there's a need I can address personally.
yeah.
or help personally, you know, not only just volunteer with SCAP or the YWCA, the United Way, but in our daily lives,
yeah.
using that to find that need in a little bit of a way of encouragement or a helping hand that can make a difference.
Yeah, and I love your friend's outlook on that, because what if we all did that every time we walked into a room? Find the person who looks uncomfortable. Find the person who's not connecting or talking to someone, or, as he said, who has a need. What if we all did that not only every time we walked in a room, but in our community or in our neighborhood where we live? You know the person who lives maybe two or three doors down from you that lost a job.
Yeah.
Or is having trouble with their kids, maybe a single mom who has a couple of kids and she's working really hard, but she's not there in the afternoon and somebody's got to watch them. You know, this is what community is all about.
Another example of that is I heard Steve Harvey share how a couple, and they actually were on Zoom or via network, not where they were in person. Mm-hmm. And he saw them, and when he saw them, he just broke down. And he said, that couple, when I was at one of my lowest spots, they took me under their wing. They helped me out. I would not be here today if it was not for them.
Wow.
And he literally, I mean, was just moved by emotion. And they just stepped up. So you never know.
You never know. You never know who in your circle, who in your orbit, who in your, you know, in your neighborhood or your family or your group has the answer to the thing you need. He's a fun one because I watch him on television, of course, but also on social media. He's all over social media. And the thing about him, he really tries to focus on never forgetting where he came from.
Yes.
And how he got to where he is and recognizing that. So it's a great thing for all of us to have. You know, we were talking about service. I failed to mention our Center for Public Service at Gettysburg College. It is one of the largest, what we call co-curricular programs, so outside of the classroom that we have on campus. And they do amazing things. They go all over the world. They do, you know, service learning trips all over the world, but also right here in this community, right? They work with El Centro. They work with Painted Turtle Farm. They're doing things to help this community, and they're teaching young people how to build that into your lifestyle very early on.
That's excellent. That's where it needs to start.
That's
where it has to start. Yeah. Awesome. So how do we continue to inspire change? I know that was part of some of the themes that came out last night about, you know, the continuing to change, continue to improve. How do we inspire that?
So I think like most things, it has to start within. We have to have the motivation to do so. One of the things that I thought was so insightful that Tori Moses, one of our speakers, said was, we can't get so discouraged, particularly as people of color. We have a tough history in this country. One of the things I said in the welcome was sometimes this work is uncomfortable, right? But we can't get the point he brought out that I thought was brilliant. We can't get so discouraged that we stop ourselves from moving forward. A lot of that is self-motivation. So I'm a girl from the South. I grew up in the church. So, you know, every now and then I throw out these Bible verses that are related to things.
That's good.
And it's just, again, authentically who I am.
Sure.
And there is a story in the Bible about David encouraging himself.
Yes.
Right? And we have to do that. We have to motivate and encourage ourselves, because the situation around us, sometimes the people around us, don't always provide the circumstances to keep us encouraged. So that motivation to keep moving forward, I think it's intrinsic. It has to come from inside. But when all of us have that mindset, it keeps our whole community moving forward.
Good. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good example. I like that. So what is your dream? I have a dream.
I have a dream.
What would you say?
So I'll tell you what. So I told you about the tree project that we have, and it's really cool. Everybody writes their own dream on a little flower, a tissue paper flower, and we're putting this on this big tree. So after the program, I went over and I sat there and I thought about this question last night. What is my dream? You know, I have a lot of dreams for myself, for my children, but I was really kind of focused on community. in this community in particular, one of the things I've spent a lot of time on the volunteer side in the last 12 years or so is working in education, K-12 education, before I came to the college. And I see a lot of challenges, and I see a lot of inequities. And my dream is that every child that walks into a classroom will have an equal and equitable opportunity to succeed, right? So what that means is we as community leaders, systems, schools, school boards, the people who fund them, you know, going all the way up to the state and national level, we have to look and say, is this school getting more resources than this school? Is this community getting more resources than this community? Because what that means is the children, and they are children, right, all the way up to age 18.
Yeah.
Sorry, teenagers. if the resources are imbalanced, then their futures will be imbalanced. And they won't have the same opportunity to succeed. They won't start at the same point. And so I think those of us who have resources, have opportunity, have influence. You don't always have to have money to have influence. Sure. You know, some of us just have big mouths and people listen to us. Can help work to make sure that every child deserves an opportunity. I used to serve on the National PTA Board, and our theme was every child, one voice. We have to speak with one voice to make sure that every child has a... Give them a fighting chance from the beginning, right? We are all personally responsible for what we do with those opportunities, but give every child a fighting chance. That's my dream.
Good dream. Excellent dream.
Yeah.
And to go back to that tree, if I may, I think that is now in the, it's at the college.
It's in the College Union building.
Okay.
Yep.
And you still can... Were they going to go for the next month or two?
It's going to be there till the end of the month.
And you can put the
tissue paper blossoms on the tree. We're hoping that it will be this beautiful. We want it to like start to sprout, kind of like the cherry blossoms in D.C. Our vision was, as more people add to it, it'll sort of be like the cherry blossoms of the dreams of our community starting to sprout. Jules Bureau, the artist who designed it, did a fantastic job. And you guys talked to her and profiled her as well. But yes, it will be there until the end of the month. And for the next two Mondays, we're actually going to have events to bring the community in. We're working with the Adams County Arts Council. They have been working not only with schools, but with some senior centers. We're going to do a community event next Monday. And then the following Monday after that, the last Monday of the month, we're going to focus on children. I'm going to be involved in that. We're going to have some more music, and we're going to bring them in. And because we want to, what are the children's dreams? They're part of our community. Yes. We need to listen to them. They are the future leaders.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that we add their dreams to the tree too.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Any upcoming events you'd like to plug, throw out there?
Yeah. So we've got those two. And then, you know, as we look, you started off asking me about the college and the Eisenhower Institute, and we really focus on public policy, as I said, and also larger issues of democracy. We have a Strengthening Democracy Initiative. And one of the events that's part of that is we have a really cool Ken Burns Film Festival coming up.
Next month.
Yeah. Yes, in February, the 10th through the 12th. And there are a number of different events that are happening on campus that will enlighten people. You know, Ken Burns has, over the course of his career, done an amazing job of retelling the stories that we need to hear about our country's history and then bringing that forward to how does that inform how we approach things today. So Ken Burns, some of his colleagues will be part of that. Susan Eisenhower and I are doing a session. We're going to do a dialogue on that Sunday after a screening of one of the films. And so the idea, again, is for Gettysburg College to draw the community in, to be part of the community. Our president, President Giuliano, also often talks about the special responsibility that we have in Gettysburg in particular because of what happened there,
right?
Because of the battle, because of Lincoln's address and the unfinished work that he talked about. This is part of that unfinished work.
And I think that is at the Majestic Theater,
correct? Yes.
The whole, all the event.
I think most, if not all, of the events are at the Majestic.
I didn't see everything.
Yeah,
I think
it's, yeah. But if you go on our website, you know, Gettysburg College, it's a big deal that we're having this. Yeah, you can see a list of all of the events. Some of them are ticketed, but you can see what's available and get involved.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I know we're planning to be at the media event time. There's a certain little window that they said, media, you can come in.
Oh, good. So I'll get to see you again.
Yeah, I may not. Awesome. I know Mark. I think Mark, our station manager, or somebody else may be, whether I get there or not. But yeah, so hopefully good. I can do that. Excellent. All right, to wrap it up, how can people get involved? Where can you send them? To a website, to yep. Eisenhower Institute, or where? What do you want to say?
So a number of different things. If you want to get involved, well, I'll start backwards. So if you want to get involved in the Ken Burns Film Festival, you can go to the Gettysburg College website and search Ken Burns Film Festival, and you can find out all the information about that. The Eisenhower Institute, we're at eisenhowerinstitute.org. We are also on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Flickr, we're out there in the social world. And we do like to get people involved. It is for students, but we're looking for professionals who have experience who can help support those programs. As I said, we're working with the Adams Economic Alliance, and I think there are other opportunities to get involved as well. And of course, I mentioned our sponsors. People can find them online as well, because they are all doing really good things in the community. I also wanted to mention that the proceeds we had on the program at the Martin Luther King event, for people to donate to the Career Aid Project and the Black History Museum. So obviously preserving history and the history of people of color as we now head into Black History Month is important, but do you know the history of Black people where you live, right here in Adams County? The Black History Museum is a great resource for that, and supporting them is something that we thought was worthy of highlighting in this event. And then the Career Aid Project. So we talked earlier about affordable housing and about the workforce. What about people who are going back to get training so that they can get better jobs, so that they can improve their quality of life? That's not free.
Yeah.
And people often need, you know, financial assistance to do that. And so the Career Aid Project does just that. And so both of those, if you go to SCAP's website, you can get some information on how to support that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And if I can put a plug in, I can't remember if I sent the email to, or emailed you about it or not. We had an interview with Ted Hurt, one of the Gettysburg licensed town guides.
Mm.
They do the Black History Gettysburg tours.
Oh, I just saw that. I was staying at the Gettysburg Hotel, because I think I mentioned I'm part of this community for work, but I still live in Maryland, because, you know, my family's there, so I got to go home. But I stay at the hotel when I come up here and for periods of time sometimes. And they actually had the information right there on the front of the desk about the Black History tours. Yeah, and I saw it just last night, and I was like, wow, this looks really interesting. I should do this.
Excellent. So we had Amy Welsh. She's part of Community Media, just a vivacious, great gal. Interviewed them a little bit. They were at, because it was so windy, and Saturday, so they weren't out long.
Gotcha.
But they went to two sites and a little bit of the history. And so there is, I think, about an hour tour that you can get and understand what it was like pre-Civil War, during the Civil War, and mm-hmm. after. So if you'd like to go to Gettysburg Town, I'm going to mess that up. I should have prepared.
Look on his website. It's on his website.
We'll put it on the screen below. Thanks, Mark. The Gettysburg Licensed Town Guides.
Yeah.
.org or .com, and you can log in and try to find some information.
Yeah.
And if they don't have them, maybe call and say, we'd like to have a group take a tour, and you'll be able to see what's going on. And they just have.
We are often surprised by the history in our own backyards.
Yes.
I have, she's going to kill me that I mentioned her, but I'm doing it anyway. My fantastic senior administrative assistant, Ann Wolford, is a walker, and she walks all over the place, all over town. And she's always coming into the office. She's also very interested in the history of people of color. And she's always coming in going, Tracy, guess what I found? Tracy, guess what I saw? You can live in a place and not know the history of the place. And so even for people who live here, that's a great opportunity to just walk around and learn what's happened in the place that we call home?
And I would venture a guess. Now, I'm a transplant. We moved here in 91. But that's a long time that we've been here, that most of us that have been here in Adams County for a while wouldn't know very much history, because it's all around us, and we just tend to go elsewhere and do everything else. Take advantage of that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Tracy, thank you very much.
This was fun. I appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Did such a great job. Thank you.
That's
our segment for Open House today. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you next time.